The following is a Sunday Feast lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on April 3rd, 2016, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
If you want genuine happiness, you got to come back to being who you really are. You see, you're not that body. You're an eternal spiritual being. Why cheat yourself? It may please your friends and relatives if you continue in the bodily concept of life. But it's not going to satisfy you. Your first business is to take care of yourself. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Your first duty in life is to yourself. You got to put yourself in the right consciousness to be actually happy. You see? So if you're ready, we're ready to teach you. If you're ready to come to that perfection of consciousness, we're ready to teach you. You have to decide if you're ready or not. Or you'd rather just be a run-of-the-mill sucker like everybody else. Easily exploited and cheated with a few false trinkets of material sense pleasure. It's up to you. But when you're ready, we're ready to take you out of the illusion, back to your original identity in the spiritual world. For you got caught up in the cycle of birth and death. So this is not an invented philosophy, an concocted philosophy. This knowledge is coming directly from the source of all existence, the personality of Godhead Himself, Lord Krishna, who has unlimited names, unlimited qualities, unlimited pastimes. Some call Him Allah, some call Him Jehovah, some call Him Buddha. You see, He has different names. He has unlimited names. But there is a Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. That's a fact. So we're going to read some words of wisdom from Him, who's very kind upon us. We're actually his children. He misses us. He wants us back in His abode, but He's not going to force us. He wants to attract us, not capture us. You see, attract us with higher knowledge. You see, this is Bhagavad Gita 9:2. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram. Everyone can repeat who knows the verse. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram idam uttamam prajakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartamam yayam. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So the Sanskrit, Raja Vidya. Raja means king. And vidya means knowledge. Just like in India, the university is called Vidyalaya, or a place of knowledge, you see. So Raja Vidya, the king of knowledge. The king in a traditional monarchical government is the topmost person in the state. He's the absolute authority. He is the absolute authority. So the absolute authoritative knowledge in all of existence is being spoken by Krishna here in the Bhagavad Gita. He is qualified to give this knowledge because He is the very person from whom everything is coming, as He confirms in chapter 8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mataksabram pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from Me. So that's where you come from. You didn't come because your mother and father wanted to have a baby. You are an emanation from God Himself. This material nature also, you see. You're not your material body. That thing comes and it goes, like changes of the seasons. But there's the Atma, the spirit spark, sitting within the body. It's like you sit in your car and you drive it, right? So you are the driver and your body is the car. Just like, you know, I had to start off with a Toyota, then I got a Volkswagen, now I have a Honda. You see, you switch cars, but I'm still the same driver. The driver's license shows the same person driving the car. But I went from Toyota to Volkswagen to Honda, you see. The car changed, but the driver remained the same. So in the same way, you were the driver through millions of changes of cars. And even in this lifetime, little baby's body, you see, crawling on all fours and walking on two, then riding on a tricycle, and then riding on a bicycle, then riding on a motorcycle, you see. The body is changing even within this lifetime. You're going through so many changes of body. Young, middle-aged, old. Actually, at every minute, the body is changing. The body you have right now is not exactly the same conglomeration of chemicals you have when you walked in the door of this room a few minutes ago. Because every inhalation and exhalation, new chemicals are coming in and old chemicals are going out. Constantly changing. It's like in a riverbed. The water molecules are flowing through that space. What today is the Mississippi River, tomorrow is the Gulf of Mexico, you see. What yesterday was the Ohio River, today is the Mississippi, tomorrow is the Gulf of Mexico. So what you think actually is you is not you at all. Some chemicals are flowing, are clustering around the Atma temporarily. And when new ones are coming in and old ones are going out constantly. The constant thing is the Atma, that spiritual spark around which the chemicals are conglomerating to form what's called the human body, you see. So when you actually awaken to your true spiritual identity, this is called Spirituality 101. We're teaching Spirituality 101 here tonight. When you actually realize your true identity as a spiritual being, then your whole perspective changes. Instead of putting all your energy to make temporary arrangements, you start thinking about what you can do for your spirituality, you know, your spiritual position. There's a nice story in this connection. There was one sage meditating on the bank of the river. He completely renounced. He had no hut. He just sat out there in the heat, the cold, the wind, all kinds of temperatures and situations. He just sat there meditating. Never went anywhere to take shelter somewhere. No, he just stayed out there in all kinds of weather, all kinds of seasons. So the villagers, they said, oh, he's doing such austerities. Why don't we help him be a little more comfortable? They offered to build him a hut. Now, this sage actually had a boon. I don't know if you know about Vedic cosmology, but the universe lasts. There's a demigod called Lord Rama who is the Lord of the material universe. And the universe lasts for the duration of his life. His lifespan is 311,040,000,000,000 years. That's the duration of the universe we're living in right now. We're about halfway through right now. Brahma's about 50 of his years. Basically, 155,020,000,000,000 years have passed of this universe. So anyway, this yogi had a boon that he would live as long as, for each hair on his body, he would live a lifetime of Brahma. So that's, he was going to be around for a long time. The universe is going to come and go, you know, thousands of times. And by the way, he was a very hairy sage also. So he was going to be there for quite a long time through many comings and goings of universes. And he's probably going to float somewhere in space for the new universe comes into being. There's also the night of the universe, between the universes. So he was going to stay in that position. And they offered to build him a hut. He said, why bother? I'm only here temporarily, you see. So you got to, you know, you have to broaden your perspective of reality. This life you're living now, 50 years, 80 years, 100 years, it's just a brief flash in eternity, you see. Don't take it as the all in all. If you do, you're a sucker. You're being duped by the materialists. It just comes and it goes very quickly. What really matters is your eternal identity, you see. You're qualitatively one with God. So don't cheat yourself. God is eternal. God is full of knowledge. God is full of bliss. You are qualitatively one with Him. Satchidananda Vigraha. That in Sanskrit describes the personality of God. He's eternal. He's full of knowledge. He's full of bliss. And He has a form. So you also are Satchidananda Vigraha. Qualitatively you're one with God, you see. Just like the drop of ocean water has the same chemical composition as the ocean as a whole. So you are part and parcel of God, the complete whole, and also the source of all emanations. So you're qualitatively one with Him. So if you take anything short, if you accept anything short of an eternal, all-knowing, all-blissful form as your true identity, you're foolish. I know, I hate to be, I don't want to step on any toes. You're being foolish. You're just being foolish. You have been properly guided by your educators. You haven't been. So we're here to fill the missing gap, to help you understand who you actually are, you see. You're an eternal spiritual being. You're quantitatively one with the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. And all you have to do to come out of all miserable conditions, to come into a state of total bliss, total knowledge, is to revive your lost consciousness of who you actually are. And it's not difficult. In fact, we don't charge any money for this. We could charge you thousands and millions of dollars for this knowledge. It's worth it. It's worth every penny. But our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't charge a penny, you see. So we don't charge you a penny. We're giving you what is more valuable than all the wealth of this world multiplied by millions and billions of times. More valuable. This particular mantra, of course there are many mantras in the Vedas. The ancient knowledge describing the science of the self, Atma-tattva, you see. They are called Vedas. These Vedas are actually eternal knowledge. And they're revealed every time the universe is created. The original personality, Lord Brahma, is given this knowledge from within the heart, and he distributes it to the people of the universe so they can get out if they're ready, you see. But out of all of this knowledge, there's one particular Upanishad called the Kali Santarana Upanishad, which is written especially for the age that we're in right now called the Kali Yuga, the most materialistic age. In this age, this particular mantra is recommended. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the recommended mantra for this age. Now, if somebody wants to chant Allah Akbar or praise Jesus, that's okay, or Om. These other things are beneficial. So any name by which you address the Supreme, according to bona fide scriptures, is beneficial. But this particular mantra is called the Maha Mantra because it has the most power of all the mantras. So if you'd like to be on the fast track, you're in the right place. We never say this is the only way. We do say this is the fast track. Because it is. This is the fast track. I know I tried so many other processes and I didn't make much progress. But when I came to this process, zoom, big difference. I could feel the difference. I could taste it, you see. So Krishna consciousness is something you experience. It's your own personal experience. You hear about it, you experiment with it. If you follow the instructions that the spiritual master gives you and the senior devotees give you, and the devotees in general give you, all the devotees here can guide you, then you will actually taste something very sublime. You'll have that's very nice, described in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishayavinivartante niraha rasyadehina rasyavarsang rasyopyasya parang rishvanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So we teach you how to get your own personal higher taste, which is sweeter, more relishable, more juicy, more delicious than any taste you'll get anywhere in the material world from anything that you do, whether it's sex, money, power, prestige, whatever it may be. You see, this is better than sex. You see, we teach you how to really have fun, how to dance in ecstasy at every minute within your heart, 24/7, wherever you are, at the temple, in the bus, in the car, at work, at shopping, the dentist's office, wherever you are, in the hospital, even on your deathbed, you can be dancing in ecstasy within your heart. We teach you how to do this, you see. It's called Krishna consciousness. And our society is called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is the perfection of existence, to become Krishna conscious. Or you can say universal conscious, Christ conscious, it's the same thing. But because the Kali Santarana Upanishad recommends the name Krishna, we especially like that name. And it has specific meanings as well. Krish means greatest and Na means pleasure. So if you're looking to have a great time, you want to taste the greatest pleasure at every minute, you come to the right place. Because we teach you how to enjoy the greatest pleasure at every minute, 24/7, in all circumstances. Even when you're not chanting, like at work, you may want to go around chanting Hare Krishna at your job. But in your mind, you can be thinking of Krishna. Just like Krishna says, I am the ability in man. So you can see, well, my boss is really expert at keep me busy all day long. He's a manifestation of Krishna. You see? Or the water break, just like a glass of water here. I remember the first time I actually had the good fortune of being there in the presence of my beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we first saw him at the airport, and then from the airport, San Francisco airport, he came to the Ratha Yatra site and got up on Lady Subhadra's car, Subhadra Devi's car. And he started off Jaganasashami Nayana Patagami Bhava to me. Very nice lecture he gave. But he told us that actually you all taste water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. You're all drinking water, you see. He said, if every time you drink water, you see, Krishna also says, I'm the taste of water. Rasoham Mapsukonteya. He says, every time if you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately become Krishna conscious. So there you are. At work, you have your bottled water there. Krishna, you see. Just by drinking water, you can remember Krishna. You can make spiritual advancement just by drinking water. You can get intoxicated just by drinking water, you see. Without rotting your liver, you see. Just by drinking water, you can get high. Krishna, you see. There's great power in this thing. If you don't believe it, just try it. Try it for 6 months. Okay, I'm going to give Hare Krishna a try for 6 months. I'm going to read the Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to follow, just try to do everything that Krishna says and see what the result is. I guarantee if you give it the 6 months experiment, you'll be blown away how awesome it is. The transformation you feel within your heart will you'll be absolutely awestruck. I never thought it could be this good, you see. Here, I've been doing it now for, 44 years, something like that. 45 years, yeah. And it's not boring. The more you do it, the more exciting it gets. It never gets boring. The more you do it, the better it gets. And it actually progresses geometrically, not arithmetically. A geometric progression means, arithmetic progression means 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 1 equals 3, 3 plus 1 equals 4, like that. That's called arithmetic progression. Geometric progression is 1 times 1 equals 2, 2 times 2 equals 4, 4 times 4 equals 16, 16 times 16 equals, 136? So it's just, boom, it explodes. This is an explosive process of consciousness expansion, you see. If you take this process seriously, you will experience an explosion of consciousness within your heart, an amazing explosion of consciousness that will just have you completely, totally amazed. I didn't realize there could be this much happiness in this anywhere in this material world. You know why? Because you're not even in, actually, when you take this up, you're not in the material world anymore. You're not. You actually enter into the spiritual world even while you're walking around Copenhagen within your heart, you see. I just read Prabhupada's teachings today. He said, wherever a pure devotee is engaged in Krishna consciousness, that place becomes transformed into the spiritual world. The spiritual world. So it sounds pretty mystical, doesn't it? Well, it is. It is mystical. And if you want to know what it's like, you have to do it, you see. I can tell you what it's like, and you go, yeah, hype. But if you really try it, and you taste it, you'll know. This is real. I was always a very skeptical person. I would never take anything blindly, you see. I was never skeptical. The devotee who first preached to me in detail, he bears me very wisely. He said, you should inquire and inquire until your intelligence is fully satisfied. He didn't want to accept anything blindly about this philosophy. And we encourage you to do the same thing. Don't take anything blindly. You make the experiment and you continue to inquire until all your doubts are satisfied. Every doubt, you can lay all the doubts on the table. They're all welcome. You don't have to be embarrassed. Just put all your doubts on the table. And we'll look at them honestly and we'll show you how to go beyond those doubts. Because I was very skeptical when I first came around. Very, very skeptical person. But all my doubts were defeated by knowledge. One doubt, another doubt, is it? So now the doubts aren't there, is it? I'm totally convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that I'm His eternal servant, and that you are His eternal servants also. I know for a fact you're all servants of the Supreme Person and that you've forgotten who you are, and that's why you're suffering in this material world. So I've come here all the way from America just to give you this knowledge so that you can come out of the illusion of bodily consciousness and you can come back to your eternal identity as an associate of the Supreme Person in the spiritual world. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. I'd be delighted. Our challenges, our doubts. Well, this sounds pretty good, but go ahead. If you have some doubt about it, what I've said, or this process, then feel free. Yeah.
Actually, I just checked in the dictionary the word sucker. I thought it meant someone who was sucking you.
A sucker means someone who can easily be cheated. Yeah, a sucker is born, somebody who's easily cheated. Sometimes they're called, in American slang, a slow. You know, you can pull the wool over his eyes and cheat him very easily. Yeah. Gives the money, easily cheated. It's called a sucker. Yeah, this easily cheated person. So this material world is full of suckers. Sucker loca. So we have come, Prabhupada has actually come to save us from being cheated. In fact, he told us this material world is a society of the cheaters and the cheated. In other words, a world of suckers. It's a society of cheaters and the cheated. So don't be cheated. You take your knowledge from one who is actually purely presenting what the Supreme Personality of Godhead says. That's where you should take your knowledge, not from mental speculators. There's only one source of perfect knowledge, and that is God Himself. Others who cook up their own versions of truth are just speculating. They don't know because our senses are imperfect. Therefore, our theories about where everything comes from is also are also false, just like our dear friend Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says everything comes out of nothing. And he calls this science. Well, I beg to inform our dear friend Dr. Hawking, my dear sir, that is dogma. Because there's not one shred of evidence. Show me in the laboratory you can get something out of nothing. Do one little experiment. I tried it in Malaysia. I took an empty pot and I put it on the burner and I said, pop, 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 and no popcorn came out, you see. So I could see that Dr. Stephen Hawking's, better he just tries to pop some popcorn, you know, instead of coming with these rascal theories. Everything comes out of nothing. The fact is, things come out of things. This table came from a tree, which came from a sea, which came from another tree. You can trace everything back, and finally you come to the original source. There is an original source. That Prabhupada said, our philosophy is substance. So Hawking says his philosophy is non-substance, you see. Basically, he says there's, you know, it comes out of nothing, non-substance. So we say, no, there is substance. So is there substance? There is there not substance? Which is more scientific? What can you prove with scientific experiments? You can prove by scientific experiments that there is the philosophy of substance. These scientists now want us to accept the philosophy, so-called scientists want us to accept the philosophy of non-substance, which cannot be proven by any kind of experimental demonstrations. You see? So we follow the philosophy of substance. There is original substance to reality, and one can study the nature of that substance and how one what is one's relationship with that substance, and then perfect that one's relationship with that substance. And that's called self-realization. You see? How to be in harmony with the source of your existence. Yes, sir. Why Krishna allows all these conflicting theories to float around?
Why does he allow us to come here with all this?
Yes. Well, Krishna could keep us all as prisoners in the spiritual world. Do you have any kids?
Yeah.
Do you chain them to the bed so they won't do anything naughty? Or do you let them run free? Are they chained to their beds, locked in their rooms so they never get in trouble ever? Or do you let them go free? Huh? You lock them in their rooms?
Yes.
They're never allowed to leave their room ever. They can't go outside anywhere. For their whole life, they'll be prisoners in their bedroom. You have locked them in the bedroom, put the food through a slit in the door, like a cell. Or do you let them, give them freedom to go out and do things and experience things?
Yes, I let them go and live independently.
He lets them go and live independently.
Yes, because you love them. So Krishna is the same. He loves you. He doesn't want to keep you as a prisoner. He wants you to be loyal to him, but at the same time, he doesn't want you to do it as a prisoner, out of force. He wants you to do it out of love. So Krishna gives you the choice. It's like you're giving your children the choice. You give them your love and hope they'll reciprocate it, right? So Krishna is the same way. He's the original parent. He gives everybody the freedom to love him or to leave him. Just like my mother told me, she said, little Stevie, if you want to run away from home, just let me know and I'll pack your bags for you, you see. I never did, but actually I did later on. But when I became a young adult, I did take off. But as a little child, I never did. For self-realization, I took off. But the Lord gives that freedom to the living entities. But if you want to be independent, okay. I give you a place where you can be independent in the material world. Live independently. Think you're independent. Actually, we're never independent. Who's giving the air? The Danish government manufactured the air for you? Who's giving the air you're breathing right now? That's God's gift. The water, the food, the government, these are not manufactured in factories. Everything you have is the gift of God, you see. He's taking on, even though you rebelled against him, I don't want to serve you, I'm going to imitate you, still he's taking care of you. He's giving you full facility to try to enjoy separately, because you wanted to try to enjoy separately, he's giving you full facility to do that. And it's his kindness. And he's giving you also the information that actually, you know, this isn't really where it's at, this material world. The real place is my abode, and you're welcome to come back at any time. Here's the ticket. Here's the formula how to come back. So it is. The answer is his love. In one word, because he loves you, he doesn't force you. He gives you the free will just to love him or to leave him. And he comes personally. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He comes again and again to reclaim the lost souls, and he sends great spiritual masters like Srila Prabhupada to reclaim us, you see. So we take advantage of Krishna's coming and the great saints. And now Krishna is incarnated as ISKCON, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Take full advantage of this ISKCON center. Any service you do here, any spiritual activities you do here, you get 1,000 times benefit. Just by hearing about Krishna here, it's multiplied 1,000 times. There's great potency here in this room. In this center, there is great spiritual power. So take advantage of this to come back to your original position. Next question. Yeah.
What were your primary doubts and what convinced you?
What was my primary doubts and what convinced me? I got to think about that. My biggest doubt was accepting a spiritual master. You're next in line after I finish answering this one. I was thinking, well, I'll just be at... See, George Harrison just come out with My Sweet Lord, right? It was a big number one. I was a singer-songwriter. And George just come out with My Sweet Lord. It was a big hit, number one hit, right? So I was thinking, well, I'll just write songs about Krishna and just be, follow George Harrison pathways. I don't need a guru. I'll just follow George Harrison's example. I don't need to be an initiated disciple. I'll be a devotee of Krishna in my way. But devotees said, well, but Krishna says in the Gita, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. You have to approach the guru. You have to have a guru. Krishna says, I was thinking, I was defeated, but was I going to do it? Nope. I was stubborn. No, I'm not going to do that. There's a prayer that devotees say when they enter the temple room. They bow down to Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. It's a long Sanskrit prayer. Two prayers, actually. So I was doing everything the devotees did. I was living in the ashram to check it out. I was thinking, if I live in the ashram for a while, I'd be able to write some better songs about Krishna by living in the ashram. I had my guitar with me, so getting ready for my new career as a Hare Krishna singer-songwriter. I threw away my mundane songs in the temple garbage can. 300 songs I threw in the trash. Now I was going to write Krishna conscious songs and follow George to stardom, you see. That's the idea. So I was living in the temple so I could write better songs about Krishna, and then doing what the devotees do, you say this long prayer, Nama Om. So I wrote it in my hand with a ballpoint pen. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastai Badale Srimati Bhakti Vodantra Shyamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisheshu Shunyavadi Paschachadesha Tanane. I had a little space here on the thumb after I wrote it all in my hand. So Vishnu John Swami said, oh, very nice. He said, here's something you should add to your thumb. He said, I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. They were really putting the pressure on me. And I had my big doubts. You know. Yeah, Krishna, but guru. Krishna, yes, but guru, no. You see. Well, one day, actually George had produced, along with the Radha Krishna, the Hare Krishna devotees in London, what's called the Radha Krishna Temple album. And they sent it out to all the radio stations. No one even knew about it yet, but we were out singing and dancing on the streets one day, and somebody from radio, a local radio station, walked up to us and said, here, you might like this. They handed us the album. They didn't want to play it on the radio. They thought it was too spiritual. And they thought, these Hare Krishna guys, they might like this. So they handed it to us. Wow. We didn't even know George had done this, you know. So we went back and we put it on our record player and wow. We were just in ecstasy. And then there's the second cut was Samsaradava Nalalida Loka Tranaya Karyunya Ganagana Dvam Praptasya Kalyana Gunanavasya Vande Guroshi Charanada Vindam. So the devotees were singing prayers to Prabhupada, you see. The London devotees, and there was so much love. My service was to vacuum the rug in the morning, the temple room rug. I was hearing the record. I was hearing it. I was carried away into ecstasy, hearing the love in their voices. I mean, I loved a girl. I loved a dog. I loved my country. I loved this. I loved that. But I never experienced any love like this. The love for the spiritual master. This was something beyond my experience. I was completely amazed. I was tuning in. I was picking up on the vibes, tuning into the mood of the devotees. Now, my nature is, I'm a very envious person, okay? I'm very envious, you see. So when I realized these devotees are tasting something much higher than I am, I was envious. And I was thinking, well, here's exactly the words that went through my brain at that minute. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And the tears just came. That was it. I wanted to taste the ecstasy those devotees were tasting. I knew I was on the outside of the honey jar. This is a clean honey jar, but I was licking the outside of the honey jar, not getting any honey. They had their tongues, they had the lid open, their tongues were down in the jar, you see. I was missing the nectar. And being an envious person, I didn't want to miss out on that nectar. So that was it. I was ready. Okay, I'll become a disciple. Because they're tasting a nectar that I'm not tasting. I want that nectar too. You see, I want to experience what they're experiencing. I'm not. I'm not tasting that nectar. So that was what pushed me over the edge. I doubted the necessity of a spiritual master, but I realize I'm only cheating myself by not taking a guru. You see, I'm only cheating myself. I have to accept a spiritual master because that's how you really connect with Krishna. That's when you're really connected because Krishna says you're supposed to do that. So you really want to be connected and live on the spiritual plane, you have to accept a spiritual master as your authority. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, there's three aspects of the Absolute Truth. Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. Brahman is the impersonal aspect of the Lord, the all-pervading, the impersonal oneness. Everything is spirit. And one says, the highest understanding of truth is everything is spirit. There's a spiritual unity. That's called Brahman realization. When you understand that spirit is actually manifested as a person, who's within every atom and between every atom and is seated in your heart. And that's you realize the forearm form of Vishnu. That's called Paramatma realization. He's within every atom, he's in your heart, he's everywhere. The personality of Godhead in his forearmed form, Paramatma. When you realize there's an original form in the spiritual world with two arms playing the flute and having all kinds of intimate pastimes in the spiritual world, that's called Bhagavan realization. The highest perfection is Bhagavan realization. Paramatma realization and Brahman realizations are partial realizations of the Absolute Truth. They're also good. So there, Prabhupada said, Brahman realization is perfect. Paramatma realization is more perfect. And Bhagavan realization is most perfect. So you can be perfect, more perfect, or most perfect. We teach you here how to become most perfect. Because when you have Bhagavan realization, you automatically realize Paramatma realization and Brahman realization. You get them automatically. When you have $1 million, you automatically have $100,000 and $1,000, you see. Why go for $1,000? We're going to give you $1,000,000, you see. So automatically you have $1,000 and $10,000, $100,000. We give you Bhagavan realization here, which includes all of the lesser forms of realization within it. Okay, one more question, then we're going to offer the books. Yeah.
Can we understand that also in the Brahman realization, we don't have a relationship or loving relationship?
That's right. There's no loving relationship in Brahman realization. You don't even realize that God is a person. You just realize God is the oneness. It's an impersonal conception. So you can't, there's no love in Brahman realization. It's simply denial of matter. Matter is false and spirit is truth. That's Brahman realization. It's dry. It gives some, just like, let's say you're just agitated by, like anything, so many things agitating your mind, you go in your closet and turn off a light and sit there in the dark. It's a little relief for a few minutes. But your nature is to experience variety. So going into the a closet and turning off the lights may relieve you for a few minutes, but it's not going to satisfy you in the long run. So Brahman realization can give some temporary satisfaction. You know, you go to the mountains somewhere and say, I'm going to give up society. You know, I'm getting no more relationships, and just go out and meditate in the forest, chant Om, and just kind of try to merge into the oneness. That's Brahman realization. But to actually achieve it perfectly, it takes millions of lifetimes. It's very difficult to achieve perfect actual Brahman realization or Paramatma realization also. Describing the Brahma as me, it takes thousands of millions of years to achieve it. But Bhagavan realization, which is even higher, you can achieve in one lifetime. So why struggle for thousands of years to achieve a lesser form of self-realization when you can easily achieve the topmost realization now within one lifetime? That's intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Our nature is we crave relationships. That's why if somebody has no family, they get a dog, you see? Or a parakeet, or a goldfish. Everybody wants relationships. So that you never become fully satisfied until you develop that relationship with Krishna. And then when you get Krishna, oh wow, it's just unbelievable. When you actually make that relationship with Krishna, it's so sweet. It's so nectarian, and then every person in the whole world becomes part of your relationship with Krishna because they're all His beloved children. You see, it's an amazing experience when you connect with Krishna. Anything you want? Something?
Yeah. I'm just about this surrender to guru, envious.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that as a child, one is naturally very naive and simple, and one easily surrenders to father, mother, but then as life goes on, one becomes somewhat disappointed, they were not perfect.
Yeah.
One develops this difficulty to keep on.
Yeah, as children, we're naturally submissive to our parents. A small child naturally is very obedient to his parents, he sees them as authorities. But when you become a teenager, you go through a different mood, you see.
It seems like you became disappointed.
Unless the parents are actually pure devotees of God, Then one will tend to remain loyal to them. But if you see their hypocrisy, you know, and you get older, you realize they're a bunch of hypocrites. They don't walk their talk. They say this, they do something else. You know, you lose your faith. But a bona fide spiritual master means someone who is purely following the scriptures, someone who is purely following Krishna. You can put your complete faith in that person because everything he does is in accordance with the scriptures. You see? So that's how I was able to put my faith in Prabhupada. Back in the 60s, we had a saying, don't trust anybody over 30. That was the hippie, one of the mottos of our hippie culture. Don't trust anybody over 30, you see. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. That was one of our anthems, you see. But when I realized who Prabhupada was, and I realized what this movement is, my whole viewpoint changed, you see. Here's someone I can take as an authority. I can fully surrender to him. Put myself completely under his loving guidance for all of eternity. You see. So, now we don't have enough time for the books. I can announce the books.
It's okay. Yeah, we have can take 5-10 minutes.
5 or 10 minutes? Okay. Huh?
It's fine. You can take 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay. I have some literatures available. Actually, you have this is this one is 200. This is 100. But if you buy it as a package, it'll give you a discount. Special discount today only. You get both of them for what's that? $250. Yeah, today a special discount only. This today only while I'm here. This is a one-time deal. You get both of them for $250. And you also get, while I'm here, I'll sign them as well. I'll personally sign them. Take you, find out your name, I'll write your. So this is your chance. This is Truth Works. This I have an e-course, by the way. It's you go to joincourse.com. You get on my free e-course, joincourse.com, or backtohome.com, either one. You can sign up for my free e-course, and this is the cream of the crop of the questions and answers I get them from my e-course. And this is also a nice book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. These books will teach you how to become spiritually perfect, and also give you an avenue towards a relationship with me as the author. And you can write me, and I can elaborate further on these teachings for your personal benefit, for your situation. My email addresses are in here. And you're welcome to have a relationship with me and learn from me directly, communicate with me. If you found inspiration from the lecture, you will find the books to be also inspiring and uplifting. So we'll go ahead and stop here. Anybody who wants a book or two, come on up. Y'all come. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.